When you take action, what are you actually doing? This is not a simple question. The impulses that lead to our actions can be driven by many different purposes. And the main split I want to talk about today is, number one, whether we're gathering information to increase our awareness, or we're doing things well-advised, criticized by ourselves, criticized by other people, or being attacked emotionally or physically by ourselves or other people. That fork in the road is an important one. There are other impulses that drive action, as I indicated already, and I'll just make a list of them, and that list can go on and on. However, the desire to create and express, that's got to be one of the impulses that drive action. The desire to acquire energy to include attention, I'll say being right, getting approval, getting power, influence, money, status. You know, so we're trying to acquire stuff. Also, sometimes action is driven by the fear of consequences from not taking action. If I don't do this, I could cause a big problem for myself or for others. And that fear can drive us to action. And there is an urge to fight or so we can overpower perceived threat. So we're not taking action, but all of a sudden we perceive a threat, and it's like, and if we conclude on some level that we can dominate that threat, we will take action to fight and overpower it. And, of course, the opposite is true as well. If we perceive a threat and then determine, I am not going to be able to win that battle, I need to run, I need to avoid it, I need to flee, then we're going to do that as well. And as I said, there could be many others besides those five that I just listed. Frequently, I talk about elevating our consciousness. That's a different word saying the same thing as increasing our awareness. Maybe that's a little bit easier for people to get, is to increase our awareness. And I think that whenever we engage in any kind of energy exchange experience, and we do that thousands of times a day, I'm exchanging energy with the computer screen that I'm looking at, I'm exchanging energy with the phones and the headset, I'm exchanging energy with the chair I'm sitting in, and the floor my feet are resting on, and on and on and on. Thousands of times a day, we exchange energy. And when we do that, we have the opportunity to increase our awareness. We're not just exchanging energy with no intention. We gain awareness if we'll allow ourselves to. And it really, when you think of it, it should be easy to learn from these energy exchange experiences because it's natural. These energies are exchanged. We deliver, we receive, we deliver, we receive. And then we draw some sort of conclusion, some sort of interpretation as to the meaning, the value, what it says about us, what it says about life, what it says about other people, even what it says about God. And the more we can learn from the energy exchange experiences, the higher our awareness will be. Now, as children, it would have been better, and it would have been nice if we had this experience, if the adults in our environment encourage us to touch things in order to understand and to appreciate them. A constant barrage of no, and don't touch that, interferes with our natural drive to understand. And when we exchange energy with some object that is catching our attention as a child, and we want to touch it, we want to know what that is, we want to feel it, if somebody had, I'll say, shepherded us in that activity, we would have been in a position to, I feel this, and you could have told me that it was valuable, and it was delicate, and its purpose in life was to, and I would have gained that awareness. If we go into the self-protect mode when we consider taking action, we need to realize that images from our past are influencing us in the direction of self-protection. We're not just doing it. Now, it's instinctual that we want to protect ourselves. But if we have a whole history of being made wrong when we took action, we're going to have to deal with that. If we didn't have, I'll say, images of pain or upset or risk or threats or suffering, we wouldn't react so consistently in a self-protective manner. There is a cause to that effect. I frequently say that we manage four things in life: matter, that is solid stuff, energy, not solid stuff, space, and time. We learn, or mislearn, how to manage. If we had an energy exchange experience that overwhelmed us, we may have concluded that we weren't good at managing that aspect of life. If we dropped the eggs a couple of times, or we spilled the milk a couple of times, we could draw a conclusion, and sometimes with the help of others, that something was wrong with us in terms of our physical ability or our coordination, and name-calling and labeling such as clumsy or worse could have been put upon us. The other day I met and talked with a man who had a boat in the same boatyard that I'm moored in. He was having engine difficulty, and he wasn't overwhelmed by it. He was aware of engine mechanics, and he told me that he owned a motorcycle and jet ski repair shop further west on Long Island. So he went on to say that he was good with his hands. I consider the opposite to be true for me. I believe I am not good with my hands. Now, I think the reasons for this is lack of awareness, lack of practice, and lack of learning. Just like anything else that I'm not familiar with, like Mandarin Chinese. Guess what? I don't have any awareness of Mandarin Chinese other than I know that that language exists. I've never practiced it, and I've never learned it. I don't know how to say a single word in Mandarin Chinese. But it doesn't come as any surprise to me, and it wouldn't surprise you if the same thing were true of something that you've not been exposed to, so you have limited awareness or practice or learning of that particular topic. It's very difficult to be good at something unless we have awareness, practice, and learning. Managing matter usually involves our hands, and maybe even the rest of our bodies, you know, shoulders, arms, legs, back, hips, however you want to do that. If you want to be good at using your hands to create and express through the actions you take, you will need to increase your awareness by practicing and learning. The main obstacles to learning to use our hands creatively will be the beliefs that we have that tell us we aren't good at using our hands. Those beliefs, based on one or more energy exchange experiences earlier in life, disempower us. We disallow the natural flow of divine energy that normally would flow to us, into us, and then through us. Our negative beliefs would have the effect of turning off the connection to the divine. If you were to think of a gigantic faucet being turned by this belief of I can't, I'm not good at, I don't deserve, I shouldn't, that gets turned off and we become disconnected to what normally would be our right and naturally would flow to us and through us. Our beliefs control our actions. If there are actions in life that we want to take, but for one or more reasons we can't seem to make ourselves do them, we should consider that our beliefs are the main factor that we need to deal with. Using our hands and physical bodies to manage matter, using our minds and mouths to manage energy, like I'm doing here with this talk, using our minds and bodies to manage space and time, gives us places to look at in our past energy exchange experiences for the root cause of our beliefs that we are not good at something and should therefore fight by resisting and rejecting, or flee by running away, by avoiding, by distracting ourselves from the considered action. Normally, we take action to increase our comfort and our convenience, and to avoid pain and suffering. But when our memories are filled with pain and suffering caused by our actions, we're going to be conflicted about taking action. I want more comfort, I want more convenience, and taking action is the way to get it. However, action has resulted in less comfort, less convenience, more pain, more suffering, so I don't want to take action. And you can feel and hear that potential conflict that we have. I want to do, and then we see the negative aspect of it. So we have an intention, but then we have a counter-intention. We have the impulse to do, then we have an impulse not to do. And that conflict is stressful. Maybe this question is the one that needs to be dealt with. What pain and suffering have your actions caused you and others? You can look at the 12 worlds that I use on a regular basis: spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance. And you could look at any one of those areas and see what actions that you have taken or not taken that have resulted in pain and suffering for you or others. I've talked about hands being used with limited awareness causing pain and suffering, and I think limited awareness is actually the problem in every single case. And communication is designed to improve our understanding, our awareness. So personally, I have memories of three such events regarding my hands that have impacted me. I remembered one memory the other day when I was putting air into the tires of my car. When I was 6 or 7, I had a flat tire on my bike. My brother John, who was older by 2.5 years, and I wheeled the bike to a local gas station. I think he wheeled it, and I walked alongside of him. As John was putting air into the tires, I was playing with the air pump itself. Back in those days, you didn't have to pay for air, and in fact, this pump had a gauge where you could increase the pressure and decrease the pressure depending on what kind of tire you were filling. If you had a big truck tire, you're going to be wanting a significant increase of air pressure. If you wanted a bicycle tire filled, you would be using a lower tire. I know that now. I did not know that then. So as John was putting the air into the tire, I was standing there and playing with the dial. I was moving the pressure up and moving the pressure down, and I did not realize that I was adjusting the air pressure going into the tire. I was just playing and watching numbers go up and down in the window of this gauge on the pump itself. And as I adjusted the pressure to its highest level, the bike inner tube burst. John didn't say a word. He just stood up, pushed the bike back home. I was dismayed by what I had done with my hands by turning the dial. I didn't understand. I lacked awareness. And in retrospect, most of the errors that I've made in life have been the result of lack of awareness. And I would think that is true for almost everyone. Earlier than that in my life, earlier than 6 or 7, I chopped the edge of one hand using a hatchet that was too big for me to handle. And too big, and I was too limited in awareness to understand its potential danger. I ran home with a hand that was bleeding. I was screaming bloody murder, and I was bleeding significantly. I ran home to my mother. She was next door. I was in the basement with my brother John and a neighbor when I misused a hatchet. My mother, as a registered nurse, had some sort of magical presence to make all wounds seem minor. As a child, and I think this probably existed till I was a teenager, I wondered how kids lived if their mothers were not registered nurses. I didn't think it was even possible. How could they survive the stuff that I did and my siblings did on a regular basis if they didn't have an emergency room at home? The third event that is connected to my misusing of my hands was when I was clever enough to steal something, but not wise or aware enough to know that I was causing myself and another emotional suffering and pain. Minutes after I succeeded at the theft, I fragmented into a bad boy who violated the family value of honesty. I was clever, and minutes later, I was devastated by what I had done. And it interfered with me, and probably has in every way since then. You know, that violation of a family value, it's soul impacting and fragmenting. My limited awareness then, and sometimes even today, led me to believe that taking what I wanted would be satisfying. It was not. Like many people, taking is seen as the most direct way to acquire the energies we desire. You know, I see an apple on a tree, I take the apple. I do this, I take it. I need air, I take a breath. You know. However, it may be the most direct, but because there is so little increase of awareness and learning, that taking is not the most satisfying. You end up with the object that you took, but all you have is the object. You don't really have an increase of awareness or learning. You didn't develop any kind of skill, and therein lies the challenge. In the three cases that I just mentioned, two involving unaware doing and one involving premeditated doing with the purpose of having, I experienced pain and suffering. And if you've got those kind of events in your background, they warrant healing. There are two other areas I want to talk about today that have an impact on our abilities to take action with a higher purpose. And I'm not talking about, you know, saving the world or ending world hunger, but something that is constructive and more loving rather than self-centered, self-conscious, and limited in terms of its positive value. And those two areas are families and our educational systems. We learn a lot by comparing two or more items, and we're never going to stop that process. It's how we become aware of hot and cold and sweet and sour and night and day and soft and hard and a million other things. And it's how we do things. We compare. And unfortunately, when we compare ourselves unfairly to others, we can be disadvantaged. We do compare ourselves, and others compare us to them. If we judge others to be threats to our action, we will hesitate to act when they're around. When a family member perceives us to be the threat, we're the saber-toothed tiger to their status or their identity or their place in the family or their own power and influence, they will be forced into a choice of diminishing us in some important way so that we are no longer a threat to them, or avoiding or disconnecting from us altogether as to make us not exist in their lives. Or, this possibility exists as well, they could rise to a higher level. They could see us as a reason and a person worthy of their love and caring. And if they can do that, then all of a sudden there is some benefit that will accrue to them that other people who choose one of those first two choices won't. I was number 5 out of 7 children. The number 3 person, 3 girls in a row, was my sister Patty. Patty was born with a defective heart, or a heart that did not heal. And she considered that having 3 younger siblings to care for and to love and to be loved by was the reason she was able to continue living. The doctors told our parents that Patty, if she lived to be 12 years old, that would be a miracle. If she lived to be 16, that would be a miracle. If she lived to be 18, that would be a miracle. 21, that would be a miracle. She could never have children, but if she did, that would be a dangerous miracle. Well, Patty had 4 children, 4 beautiful children, and lived to be 67 years old. So, in retrospect, she said, if I didn't have you kids to care for, I would have never lived. I would have had no reason to live. It was loving you, caring for you, and being loved back that kept me going. That's pretty impressive. I recently met an adopted daughter of a wonderful family. Unfortunately, the family has an adopted son who is older. And unfortunately, this very intelligent, very bright son spends a lot of his time treating the daughter like a threat. And so belittling her on a regular basis has been the standard practice. And unfortunately, it has damaged that girl in her self-esteem and how she views herself in the world and how she sees herself in her adopted family. It seems weird that this son is viewed as so exceptionally talented and intelligent, but he uses his intelligence as a weapon on his sister. Well, I'd say he obviously isn't smart enough to know the importance of kindness in dealing with a young girl who needs, as a younger person in family, his protection and his encouragement. He didn't realize he could use his intelligence to be kind and loving and help this girl grow. Instead, he apparently saw her as a threat in this family, like there was not enough love from 2 parents to share between 2 children. He missed that lesson. In our typical educational system, getting good grades is the goal, even more than actually learning the subject matter. For people with memories good enough to capture and then regurgitate the proper answers on tests, and unfortunately, I think, I was one of them. And then, just because I could capture something, regurgitate it, and if you ask me an hour after the test the answers to the questions, I go, I don't have a clue. I emptied my mind on that piece of paper. I didn't keep anything. I didn't learn it. I don't actually have any kind of retention of that subject matter. However, because the high score came in, it's like, oh, you're intelligent. You're smart. I'm good at capturing and regurgitating. That's what that means. And when you really think of that, holding on to the information long enough to spill it onto a test paper is not about increasing awareness or learning. It's all about the other avenue in action, to look good, to get approval. I'm cool. Look at my grade. I'm cool. And for some of us, if we have pain and suffering from not knowing all the answers all the time and it's intense, we will tend to try to gather more information, or to avoid situations and actions where we can't know enough, we can't control enough to know exactly how a process is going to unfold and how the outcome is going to appear. It's like, oh, no, I need much more certainty than that. You know, I can't take a risk. I can't be vulnerable. I can't dare greatly. That's a real disadvantage. In this case, as in the others, healing the beliefs we created after we took action, it's essential to our regaining our freedom to take action. We want to be able to engage. There's so much in life worthy of engagement. We want to exchange energy. We want to go different places on planet Earth. We want to speak with different people. We want to express ideas. We want to create on one level or another. And to regain our freedom to do that requires us to heal our beliefs that would be holding us back. If we could approach every action with the mindset that we were eager to receive awareness during the process, we would have lifted a huge burden off of our shoulders, off of our backs, and we would have taken off the brakes of self-protective fears. Obviously, I'm a fan of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. And this is the third idea in it. I know it is your will that I shall be fully illumined, that I may better receive awareness of your presence within and around me. Just imagine, that could be a beautiful mindset to be in whenever we consider action and when we take it. If we can stay open and aware so we can receive whatever it is we need just in time to take the next best action, we would be in a different place. We would be free. We would be happy. We would be supportive. We would be growing. Then we would know what we were doing when we took action. I would like to end this service with a prayer. It is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our help, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.